Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. The Saudis plan to get out of oil, plus the powers that shouldn't be are planning for a possibly false flag drone attack. But first, a story that seems to hang over everything else as I was going through the New World Next Week tweets, putting together and stories for this episode. 9 out of 10 of them had to do with the Panama Papers. Now, it seems like last week we discussed a pretty massive leak on this show that no one's really talking about because the Panama Papers leak have pretty much taken over everything. They're calling it the biggest leak in history, even though it's more, James, like you said, a tease. We've only gotten a little bit. And for the most part, James, you and I have already put out and produced a bit of work on the Panama Papers, and we'll include that just like we include everything we note in the show notes. Some of the updates, however, as the shockwaves of these Panama Papers, and again, we don't have to go through bullet by bullet, but Iceland's prime minister might really be the first casualty, I suppose, after 10,000 plus people protested over the Panama Papers, and we've got links to just a short video on that. But James, I think the best way you kind of put it together already in the International Forecaster article, the one sentence summary of the Panama Papers, where we note Wolfgang Schäuble, German finance minister, gave a, here's the full quote from a Bloomberg article on the Panama Papers. He said, even though it's not surprising, it helps us. So it's not surprising, and it totally helps us. So policymakers, including German finance minister Wolfgang Schäuble and European Commission vice president Jyrki Katainen, said the leak will strengthen the resolve of governments to combat tax avoidance and evasion, something that's been on the agenda of international forums such as the Group of 20 for years. So, James, as you have already pointed out, the latest data tease, we've only got a couple of hundred pages of the supposed 11.5 million documents so far, and all it does is give a shot in the arm to the OECD and the G20, who have been working behind the scenes to basically build the new global tax grid that will go through and have all of your personal banking details right down to your balance right now shared in an intergovernmental database. And you've also got a video, James, What I Learned from the Panama Papers, and I'll include links back to my two morning shows for Monday and Tuesday. Monday's morning show pretty much being exclusively devoted to going through what was then somewhat the new story of the Panama Papers. So again, James, I think we just kind of wanted to put it on the record here and kind of get it out and somewhat out of the way, I suppose, James.
Well, I guess so. I mean, obviously, this is an ongoing story and there's still a lot more to be said about it. But I think what I've said about it is that this is obviously in some way a controlled release of information, and it doesn't even matter at the end of the day whether it's controlled in the sense that this was an intelligence operation that's been done specifically to leak this information, or that it was a genuine whistleblower who genuinely leaked this information. The key is in how this is being reported, and by whom, and in what context. And of course, it's being reported by the same mainstream media criminal liars who have reported on all of the, you know, whatever they report on is spin and half-truths and decontextualized lies, so that they can focus almost exclusively on Putin or Assad, or they might throw a Icelandic prime minister to the wolves, but nothing of true substance being reported. There has been, in the last few days, there's been a few reports coming out about the 400 or so Americans that have been identified, but no big name Americans that have been identified, just retirees and other people who have been using this firm before. And even that isn't exactly, I mean, we can't pin it down, or we, the journalists who actually have access to this information, can't pin it down because, again, there's 11.5 million documents to troll through. So they're looking through this by doing searches. So they'll search for things like U.S. passports to find, you know, people who've given their personal information. But that can be done in so many different ways. You can set it up through, if you have a foreign passport, if you're a dual citizen, or if you have a shell company that sets up a shell company. I mean, you have to troll through this information to try to find various pieces of it. And that's why the first thing that everyone was reporting on was the Putins and the Assads and whatever, because the first way they looked through this information was looking for people who have violated UN sanctions. So of course, you're going to find everyone who's on the State Department target list, because who's violating, what are the UN sanctions? It's been against Iran, it's against Syria, it's against Russia, it's against all the people the State Department hates. So they find all those people first, and they report on them as if that's the only thing in this leak. So the way this is being reported on determines what the story is, and obviously the story is just going to align with State Department interests. I'm sure there are some interesting nuggets in here, but again, we don't have access to the information, so we're not going to be able to find it independently.
And it will probably sort of trail out in dribs and drabs over the weeks and months and longer. So again, it's something that is an ongoing story, and anything that adds to this story and at least to fleshing out our understanding of it, like anything, we always implore you to tweet us the story at hashtag New World Next Week. We talked last week about the Nuclear Security Summit before it had happened, and now that it has, we've learned a little bit more, and it's gotten kind of interesting. We'll grab this from the UK Telegraph. ISIS plotting to use drones for nuclear terror attack on the West. They didn't include exclamation points, but you can tell that they're implied. ISIL terrorists are planning to use drones to spray nuclear material over Western cities in a horrific dirty bomb attack, David Cameron has warned. World leaders are concerned that jihadists want to buy basic drones that are widely available online to transport radioactive material into the heart of major cities in a strike that could kill thousands. The prime minister warned that the dangers of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIL, or Daesh, or whichever name they're calling it this week, getting a hold of nuclear material was only too real. Mr. Cameron last Friday met world leaders, including the presidents of America, France, and China, to plan how they would react to such an attack. Footage has reportedly emerged showing ISIL using drones, and the threat was deemed so serious that, in a highly unusual move, they say, world leaders were asked to take part in war games to plan how they would respond. So I guess they got some impromptu war games put on the table at the nuclear summit. One scenario, mapped out by U.S. officials and presented at the special nuclear security summit session in D.C., spelt out the dangers in remarkable detail. It imagined radioactive material had been taken from a medical facility by insiders and sold to extremists through the internet's secretive dark web. Now, James, included in that article is the note that low-level bits of radioactive material were stolen from Mosul. You just looked at that a moment ago, right?
That's right. Back in 2014, when ISIL appeared on the stage out of nowhere and couldn't have been predicted by anyone except the DIA and everyone else who did predict it, yes, they ransacked Mosul University as part of their taking of Mosul, and they got some low-grade uranium, which is not actually going to be that effective as some sort of dirty bomb, you know, type of material, but it might cause panic, and I guess that's, you know, that's what terrorists are trying to do. So this is an interesting little line of propaganda that's coming out right now, and I think people will, I'm sure people have seen more of this type of rhetoric coming out in recent months, thinking about post-Brussels, there, you know, Belgian police are on, I think, worried about nuclear reactors and nuclear terrorism. We've seen this popping up. And we've definitely seen the nuclear terrorism meme popping up before in clusters. And I remember specifically about 2007 in the summer, there was a lot of chatter and we were hearing, oh, what if, you know, Chicago or what if Dallas got nuked and things like that. There was a lot of chatter at that time. It didn't necessarily eventuate into anything. There's a lot of chatter right now. It's not necessarily going to eventuate in something, but seems like the groundwork is being prepared in one way or another. And this particular iteration of the propaganda is interesting because it ties everything together. It's ISIL, it's terrorism, it's nuclear, and it's people getting these materials via the internet's dark web. Oh, be afraid of the internet and free communication online. If only they could be, you know, using some sort of encryption software, then you can hit all the buttons and demonize everything all at once. So, it looks like they're trying to tell us what the next false flag is going to be. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, but I think we have to be aware this is now a meme they're pushing pretty hard right now.
And they even note that it would be taken from a medical in this scenario, that it was taken from a facility by insiders, meaning we can blame anyone who works at these facilities, which would be the only way you would get this kind of stuff. And imagine the anthrax from a decade ago. So let me actually add something to that, James, to kind of bolster the scenario in a way. A different conference, a half a world away, recently was called the Black Hat Asia Conference. And the UK Register has an article, $40 attack steals police drones from 2 kilometers away. So at a recent Black Hat Asia conference, IBM security guy Niles Roday demonstrated how thieves can hijack expensive professional drones used widely across law enforcement, emergency, and private sectors thanks to absent encryption in onboard chips. So you have this scenario of we're worried drones might be used for an attack. Meanwhile, here's exactly how you do it. Here's the software. Here's the Android app that actually runs it. So again, all the tools are put out there. So all the intelligence agencies, in a lot of ways, need to do is just sort of sit back and wait for something to happen. So James, we've been charting the rise of the drones pretty much since the beginning of the New World Next Week series. And I'll add in 2 other scary scenarios to that as well. U.S. hopes to outfit soldiers with their own tiny drones by 2018. Just your own little personal drone floating around. And we often see scary-ass footage of the sort of robots that are being built. And the latest one, robotic war balls. It kind of looks like almost, you know, the prisoner of the ball that sort of floats out. It almost has that sort of feel. And we can add that to sort of the big dog robotics videos that really probably should kind of give us pause. James, any word about the rise of the robots before we move to our third and final segment this week?
Let's just move on and deal with the next bit.
All right. We'll go to Saudi Arabia. And I'll ask for your analysis again on this kind of story. And you had tweeted both of these stories, James. Saudi Arabia prepares for post-oil era by setting up the world's biggest sovereign investment fund. And we can grab this from The Independent. It's a $2 trillion wealth fund created by selling off state petroleum company Aramco, or the Saudi Arabian oil company's assets, in a dramatic plan to transform the country's economy, which of course relies heavily on the oil industry. The mega fund will be enough money to buy the 4 largest U.S. companies, Apple, Google, of course, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Berkshire Hathaway. Now, James, I do find it interesting in the couple of articles I looked at on this story, they all tout this point of, hey, you know, when they do this, they could buy all these companies. So it's just an interesting kind of seed planted there. It will also be more than double Norway's sovereign wealth fund, regarded as supposedly the largest in the world by assets. The scheme is aimed to generate state revenue, which will be used to invest abroad and in new industries and tourism to diversify the economy and end the country's dependence of oil. So the 30-year-old son of King Salman and second in line for the throne, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, set out his vision for the investment fund during an epic 5-hour meeting last Thursday. Now, the articles will get through the plans and exactly sort of the rollout, but the plan is a reaction to the collapse of oil prices and probably also to the realization the world is making efforts to move away from fossil fuels and adopt low carbon, yada, yada. So they could go public as soon as next year, with the country initially planning to offer 5% of its assets, but it's hoping to increase the production, or rather proportion, of foreign investments to 50% by 2020. So it was 8 decades after oil was first discovered on Saudi land, and now I can help but think of the Adam Curtis documentary Bitter Lake. The world's largest crude exporter is now looking into the future, James. The news comes after a series of so-called austerity measures, including cuts to subsidies, raising fuel and electricity prices to prevent the country's budget deficit to grow, and an announcement is expected within a month for a national transformation plan, James. $2 trillion mega fund.
Yeah, this is a fascinating story for me, mm-hmm. because I think this gives us a glimpse into, I mean, the whole oil route that we're going through right now is a glimpse into the post-oil economy. And we are heading into a post-oil economy, as we've been told so much in recent years, and has really started to come to a head since the Paris Climate Conference. We are heading into an economy that is going to be determined by this idea that we're shifting off of oil. And although that is something that we want, obviously, people who've seen the big oil documentary know this is something that we want, but it's not going to be in a happy manner. It's going to be the technocratic smart grid, carbon credit, energy credit kind of economy that's going to be completely controlled. So that being what it is. But it's going to be the type of transition that is truly transformative, in the same way that we tend to think that the geopolitical relations and the types of governments that exist now have always been and will always be. But look at something like a World War I and the way that it changed the face of the planet. I think we're going through that type of transition, and the Saudi royal family, I think, they should be really worried about this, because truly, their ability to maintain power over Saudi Arabia has been predicated on their ability to have largesse, because they have all of this oil money sloshing around. They can basically buy off the population to be complacent. Well, yeah, they can try to create this $2 trillion wealth fund and, you know, keep things going, at, you know, once the world is starting to dehook from oil. But I am very doubtful that it's going to work. So it's interesting to see whether the Saudi royal family will be able to maintain power once they're not able to bribe off their population so well. And I think that's one of the major transitions we may be going through as this step towards the post-oil economy.
Hmm. So we'll include links to all of those articles, which again will help kind of flesh out this story. And it's funny, James, I think in a lot of Bloomberg's been busting out a lot of interesting bits we don't include here, but their how to hack an election coverage and cover story was pretty scary and fascinating. I will include a link to Bitter Lake, the documentary I just mentioned. And as we wrap up this New World Next Week, episode 264, we finally make a couple of good news notes. James, I swear we'll get back into making an actual segment very soon that we cover some good news rather than just some of the headlines. But my latest episode of Good News Next Week, Women Are Winning with Weed, plus 50 million research articles online for free, and a court rebukes stingray spying. Plus, James, you tweeted the story about the brave granny refusing the unconstitutional checkpoint, and she wins. And it's scary and funny and frightening and ultimately elating to watch, because you're literally riding along in the car with her as she's standing up to cops and standing up to an affront to constitutional rights. Meanwhile, a couple other good news notes. Town converts prison into a cannabis grow facility. UK supermarket Waitrose stops Roundup sales. And Florida limits policing for profit, which is a pushback against what we talked about last week, asset forfeiture, a.k.a. equitable sharing. A couple of the other headlines we're looking at using hashtag New World Next Week. McDonald's responds to the big $15 minimum wage hikes with self-serve coffee kiosks. And never mind Michigan's unemployment, Ford to open massive Mexico plant. And Mick Jagger says there's no satisfaction, ha ha ha, for Britain long term by remaining in the EU. Those are just some of the stories we're watching there. And James, I'll remind you and I'll remind everyone out there that I have been doing a daily morning show where I've been covering a lot of the stories as they sort of break, and hopefully can kind of get that news out earlier on MediaMonarchy.com.
I wonder how many millions of news stories about the Rolling Stones over the last several decades have used that no satisfaction play on words. Anyway, all right. Thank you once again for rounding that all up. And please do remember, all of the links are in the show notes. Please go check out these stories for more information. Thank you again, James. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, man.